And welcome to this week's episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. I am your host, Peter, and I am joined this week, as always, by Colleen and KZ. For this week's episode, we begin with our Biz Buzz segment, where the three of us talk about serialized novels, a little bit about the history on serialized novels, and some of the ways that serialized novels are continuing to not only stick around, but also thrive in today's publishing industry. We talk on how writers and readers can both use two of the more common services in serialization. So please listen into that part of the show to learn all about serialized novels. And we also talk a little bit about how they are very akin to TV shows. Then in our second segment, I take some time to talk with a special guest. I'm going to share my interview with Laura Brandeo, who is writing the foreword for our upcoming book, The Right Way. Now, this is really special because we are now beginning to talk with some of the other contributors in The Right Way book, and we are leading right up to the launch of the Right Way, which is coming at the end of this month, the end of May, and we hope to have some more information on where you can buy The Right Way very shortly. So please stick around, listen to my interview with Laura Brandeo, who wrote the foreword for the book, like I said, and she talks about writing the foreword and just in general is one of the best guests that we have had on the show, and I think you're going to really enjoy listening to all that she has to say. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to myself, and we are going to start the Biz Buzz segment. Welcome to this week's Biz Buzz segment. I'm Peter, and as always, I am joined by Colleen and KZ. And for this week's Biz Buzz segment, we're going to talk about serialized stories. So let me just kind of real quick cover what a serialized story is. So a serialized story is a piece of either fiction, mainly fiction, or it could also be nonfiction, but mainly fiction that is written and distributed over a different time period. So whether it could be weekly, whether it's monthly, whether it's whatever that is, it is a story that is broken up into individualized sections and given to the readers in those sections, and then you can bring it all together. Some people put all of them together and create a book at the end, or it can just live as their individual parts, but it's a story broken up and distributed over time. So I'm going to real quick ask KZ this because she brought it up when we were talking over our morning conference about before we hopped into the recording itself. And so who is the most famous serialized author?
You might be surprised because most people are thinking when you say serialized, they're thinking Bella, for example, but no, it goes way, way back. Charles Dickens is the one that comes to mind for me. And whenever someone says serialized, publishing, his entire career was based on publishing his stories in short sketches. His entire Pickwick Papers, probably his most favorite, not his most famous novel, and his first successful novel, was completely serialized. At the very first one, and I have some numbers here for you. I know you like numbers, Peter. Okay, the very first installments, the first month, it was a monthly installment. And it sold 400 copies. Okay. That by the end of the following year, when that novel ended, nearly 40,000 copies of each installment were being sold. So it was definitely a profitable, endeavor back then, a lot different today, but at the core, still the same thing.
Yeah, that is wild. I mean, especially thinking back in the 1800s when he was writing, 40,000 copies of something is a lot That's a lot of sales in today's world, but you know, not to mention what it was like back in the 1800s. That's amazing to hear those kind of numbers. Yeah, Colleen. Yeah.
So I have a question for people out there who may not understand or know or heard of a serialized book or whatever. Do you want to explain that some?
So, like, what is a serialized novel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a story that's broken up and distributed or published over many different segments. So I think probably like KZ said, Charles Dickens is a very famous author who has written serialized books, and those came out through monthly publications like magazines. So you could submit a story to a magazine and they'd publish it over, you know, whether it's 6 months, a year, however long it takes. So it came to the readers in, it's almost like a chapter by chapter book.
That's what I was going to say. That's, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so, except it's not actually a full chapter, and we'll get into that in a minute, but it's interesting to realize that you don't get a whole chapter at a time.
That's very true. Yeah. So another one of the serial, actually where I kind of learned most about serial books is one of my favorite authors, Stephen King, released The Green Mile, which is one of his most famous books as a serial novel when it first came out. So it broke up into, I believe it was 6 or 7 individual stories that he then brought together for The Green Mile, the novel. So, you know, that's really great. So it started back in the 1800s with a lot of magazines and a lot of newspapers, things like that. And it's continued on to this day. One thing that I found really interesting is that in today's world, I don't know if it's necessarily the most popular way to read a book, but there are very, very many people out there who are writing serialized books, writing serialized novels, and there's just as many people out there ready to gobble up any of those new segments that come up from these authors. So before we hop into what those two are, is there any other questions from or anything that we haven't covered yet before we hop into the new formats?
No, I think it's fun to think about that, about how it's changed, how something so old has stayed as a standard, and how it's been embraced now in a completely new way in the digital world.
Yeah, for sure. I think once we cover a little bit about the newer topics or the newer formats and platforms, we might talk a little bit more about how it connects to the history. But let's dig into those two real quick. So I think the most famous or the most popular serialized platforms right now are going to be the Kindle Vella and Wattpad, and they are very similar, yet they are different. Let's kind of approach this from both the reader's perspective and the author's perspective, because we are talking to a lot of writers and authors, but we also have a lot of people who are readers themselves, because we are all readers. So let me first ask KZ from the writer's perspective, what's special about serialized, or what's different about serialized stories versus a true novel?
There are several, there actually are quite a few differences. One immediate difference is the royalty. You're not going to be paid as much. End of discussion. They don't pay as much. However, they do pay. It's not free work. You're not giving it away. You are paid for it. So you might wonder, well, why would an author do this? Well, two good reasons. One, the market, the readers. If your market fits the readership of these books, you need to be here. It's that simple. Okay. And two, the other reason is many writers, a high percentage of writers who are using the serialization process for their books are using this to perfect the book while they're writing it. They're using this process to be paid while they're having beta reading done, essentially. One of the features that I believe is very popular between both the writers and the readers, is the fact that in every situation, when a reader subscribes to a particular episode, okay, they have the opportunity to interact with the author through chat. Mm-hmm. And the authors like this because they get feedback. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't want that feedback, but they do get it. So for some authors, it works to use it in this way. For other, but it's not for everyone. I will tell you, it is not for everyone. You have to be able to write your story in such a way that you can write short scenes, essentially, not chapters, because it takes several, I would say it generally takes maybe 5 episodes to cover 2 to 3 chapters. That's kind of a rough estimate, okay? But you have to be able to have each episode end with not necessarily on a cliffhanger, but on a in a way that is going to encourage the reader to want to pick up the next one, because it might be a week, it might be the next day, depending on how often you're releasing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. You know, I think as a writer, it could be a very good tool to help you build your storytelling prowess, if you will, because like you said, you do have to, you know, create. I'm going back all the way to, you know, like high school and middle school English class, where, you know, you remember how to like plot out the plot, you know, how it, you know, like the rise and the fall of the plot. So that's basically what you have to do for every one of these stories to keep the people interested.
Yeah, you do. If you think in terms of, and this is something that not everyone will recognize, but there is a strong community of fan writers, fan fiction mm-hmm. writers, and many of those who are in the fan fiction world or who start with fan fiction, this appeals to them. And mm-hmm. so you find that many, many fan fiction writers will also be readers or writers in serialization. And as they grow, they may, as writers, they may find themselves evolving out of this market and into the longer format. I don't know that we have to bring it up right now, but I do want to mention, we talked about marketing a couple of times here. It's important to recognize that the market for this is young. Mm-hmm. We're talking teenage to early 20s at the latest in early 30s. The people who want this are the ones who want it fast. And as their budgets increase, as their ability to pay for their reading choices increases, most likely they will also move into larger books. But this market is solid in that younger audience, in that younger range.
Yeah, that's really important for people to understand too. One thing you mentioned way back when you first started talking about the serialized writers is it's a way for you, if your audience is looking for it, that you really need to be a part of this. And I do want to bring up some of those genres that are pretty popular in the serialized format. So you had mentioned one already, KZ, which is fan fiction. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Wattpad is very, very popular with the nonfiction audience, or with the fan fiction audience.
Yes, I think you're right, Peter.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the other big genres that you're going to find are, especially like you mentioned, it's a younger audience. So you're going to see some teen and young adult books. You're also going to see a lot of romance, fantasy, science fiction, genres that are all kind of interrelated in there. Is there anything that I'm kind of missing that I think we've covered a lot of those genres, but is there anything else that
I would say probably mystery and light suspense are also in there. They don't go into the dark very much. Again, it's just, they're there. Every mm-hmm. every genre is there. We're talking about the ones that are the most popular among the readers. But I think you've hit the most of them.
Yeah, you know, I know in the past we talk a lot about nonfiction writing as well, and you will find some nonfiction stories in these serialized formats, but like we mentioned, a lot of it is very based around scenes, based around storytelling, and unless you can really use your nonfiction story in that way, it's not necessarily as popular in the serialized format.
True. Colleen, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to interject something I thought was interesting. When you said that it's important for them to leave the audience or the reader wanting more, I noticed when I was looking at some of this stuff that The Phantom of the Opera is a serialized story. And that is one of my favorite musicals. I love the music. I love everything about it. I know there's no music in the book, actually, but that would keep me interested. So I loved how you said that keep the audience wanting more.
Yeah, that's very, very... I think that's probably the most important part of serialized novels, is how to keep people interested, because like you said, it's spread out over time. So if you like the first one, you want them leaving more and wanting to come back and reading the second one.
Yeah, the whole system is designed for reader engagement. And when that engagement isn't there, the sales aren't there. So that's a huge motivator on both sides.
Yeah, I kind of think of serialized novels, and we've kind of used this word before too, as episodes. So it's very similar to what like a TV episode would be. Like think of, you know, whatever your favorite TV show is, you know, there's the season consists of whether you're Netflix now and have six episodes, or a traditional like over the air, like big, studio has 20 episodes a season. That's kind of what a serialized novel is very similar to. So if you like one episode, you're going to go and you're going to read or watch the next episode.
Absolutely true. And I think that probably the fact that they call them episodes, it goes directly back to the fact that they are thinking in terms of, and think about the readers. They're young. They go to school. They're probably still in school somewhere. They're in some sort of community. So they like the idea that they can take an episode and go and talk about amongst themselves, just like you would a TV show. Hey, did you see last night's whatever the show is? Trent, I'll say Trent. Will Trent's my favorite new show. So so I'm going to ask, did you see the latest Will Trent episode? Okay, for example. And so that's one of the things they love, is the fact that it's short and easy for them to talk about. And to become to love and get involved with. They want to be involved with the characters, with the world, with the events that are going on. They truly want that.
That's really important. You know, I think that's kind of really interesting as well. So I know we've mentioned a lot about the fan fiction side of the serialized novel. A lot of fan fiction writes in serial novels. And this is kind of adds on to what you were saying about getting involved with the world, getting involved with the characters, because you can really set up and create a world in which the characters live in. And since it's a serialized story, you don't really have to have an endpoint in mind. I mean, you should have an endpoint in mind, but it doesn't have to end when you think a traditional novel would end. You can continue the story, bringing in new characters, bringing in new scenes, new events and things like that, so it can really last as long as you and your readers enjoy it.
Good point. The writers that I have spoken to who write in this particular format do have a plan, but they say it's quite fluid to allow for the reader interaction, and they do frequently make changes along the way. But they generally do have their beginning, middle, and end in mind.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was thinking, you know, I was looking up some of the featured stories in the Kindle Vella that, you know, pop up when you just go to the Kindle Vella homepage. And I've seen stories that have anywhere from like 12 or 15 episodes. I saw one that has 260 episodes. I saw one that has almost just over 350 episodes. So, you know, it's very it's a good way for writers to craft the story in a way that fits them.
It's great for long fiction. It's great for fantasy. It's great for those really big the sci-fi soap operas that can be so, and the word soap opera is important because that's also an example of what we're talking about here. And this is why people get so involved. It's a soap opera. It is a TV show that they can read, essentially.
No, that's really great. You know, I'm thinking one of my favorite books that I have read or favorite series is the Game of Thrones series. And if any of you have read that, you know that each chapter is broken down into individual characters. It follows one character per chapter. And that's kind of almost similar to what you might see in a serialized book. It actually might have done quite well as a serialized novel, I think, because, you know, you follow one chapter or one character per chapter and really focus in on what's going on in that part of the world. So that's kind of similar to what you would see in a serialized novel as well. So, like I mentioned, there are two main, I guess, competitors, if you will, in the serialized book world now. There's Kindle Vella and there is Wattpad. Have either of you used them as a writer? I don't believe either of you have used them as a writer, correct?
No,
I have not. No.
Okay. So one thing that I do want to kind of ask then between both of you, I know Casey, you've looked at this and you have some writer friends who have used Vella and Wattpad. Are there any major differences or anything that you think writers need to be aware of when they're looking at whether to use one or the other?
Yeah, for either of them, look at the limitations and exclusivity on your work. As a writer, there are rules. There are very, very strict rules about what you can publish. Okay. And there are also very strict rules about when and how you can repackage what you've published with Vella or Wattpad and bring it out in another format, like a full long format. So there's no reason to go into the terms here, but understand that as a writer, educate yourself seriously before you make the commitment, because you don't want to lose the rights to your work accidentally.
Yeah, that's very important to keep an eye out on. One thing that I found kind of interesting when I was doing my research is right on the homepage for Wattpad, just below the fold, if you will, they talk about how you can adapt your story in future uses. So they have some direct connections with like things like movie studios, TV studios, and even some publishers. So depending upon how popular your book is and how popular, how popular your serialized book is, you may be able to turn it into something outside of just the serial novel, whether that's a book, whether that's a TV show, movie, something like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but you know, don't go into these thinking that every writer is going to reach that status either.
No, it doesn't. It does happen, but it is rare. It does happen, however. There are big books and big movies that have been that were first introduced in the serial market.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned before, you know, one of my favorite novels is the Green Mile from Stephen King. Granted, I mean, it's Stephen King, but it was a serial novel turned into a book and then turned into one of the, you know, most famous movies as well. So it happens.
It does. Yes,
it does. Yeah. Is there anything that you guys think that we haven't covered, or any questions you have about serialized books before we kind of wrap up what a serialized book is?
The only other thing, Colleen may have something, but the only other thing that I would bring up is, as a reader, keep in mind that you need to pay attention to how you're paying for it. And I don't want to go into it. I truly do not want to go into the whole token situation. But as a reader, look into that before you start committing to them. It's not like you're going to spend a lot of money. It's like $2 to get your first batch of tokens, which will give you a few chapters to read of something. So it's a very small investment. But read up on it before you actually make that initial investment and get hooked on something that's going to cost you more money in the end.
No, yeah, that's important. You know, I didn't want to dig into that too much, but you're right. Like, I just went onto the Vella platform and, Yeah, there's a lot of different options for what you can buy for your tokens to read whatever story you're engrossed in at the time.
Yeah, that's a different discussion entirely, so.
Yeah, Colleen, did you have anything or any other questions before we wrapped up for the day?
No, I was just going to say what you guys just talked about with tokens and that type of thing. So, answered my question or I what I was going to say.
Well, you know that's we're staying one step ahead of everyone, hopefully, and hopefully that listeners, if you have any questions or if you have any comments, maybe you're a big serialized author or a serialized reader, please hop in the comments or send us a message. We'd love to hear from you, how you enjoy writing serialized novels or what questions you might have about reading serialized novels. We'd love to answer them. And that kind of goes with any of our Biz Buzz segments. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out. We'd love to delve more into that on another episode. So I know it's been today's been a very high level overview of what serialized novels are, but I hope you learned a few things. And I want to thank both Colleen and KZ for joining me today, and we'll be back next week with a new Biz Buzz. This episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast is brought to you by us, the Author's Voice. The Author's Voice is the premier online training platform for authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs looking to add a new revenue stream to their business. Whether you're an author looking to publish your book or an administrative assistant looking to expand your business by working with authors and speakers, we have the training programs to help you become a certified publishing professional. You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or please follow our social media at Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find links to all of those places in the show notes. And we are very excited to have a special guest on this week's Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. We have our forward writer for our brand new book coming out soon, Laura Brandeo. And me and Laura and Candy and Laura and Colleen have known each other. We're thinking probably about 4 years or so. So we've known each other for, you know, quite some time, and we are very honored to have her write the forward for our book. So I'm going to actually turn it over to her to let her introduce herself to all of our listeners.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for the invite. I'm so excited to be here. And of course, for the honor and privilege of writing the foreword. That was such a unexpected gift. That really is truly an honor. So I am Laura Brandeo. I am a partner at EPM and the CEO of Lighthouse Advisors, mortgage industry veteran. I have been in the mortgage industry for pretty much my entire adult life, you know, at one form or another. And, you know, I'm at this stage that, you know, it's funny, I'm just coming back from a conference. And whenever I'm in with a group of people, you know, you kind of, you know, you tell tales of, you know, your struggles and your successes within the mortgage industry. And I kind of stopped at one particular moment. And I just said, guys, I just want everyone to know, I love the mortgage industry. I honestly can tell you that the feeling that I get to know that I can impact people getting that roof over their head, passing on generational wealth, and me being able to work with mortgage professionals within every level, I feel that we make such a monumental impact on families and the absolute society as a whole. So if I was going to describe myself, I would say I am a mortgage executive. I am someone that is a voice for women leadership within the mortgage industry. I am a voice for affordability and DE&I and inclusion in bringing people and lifting them up to be homeowners. And like I said, pass on generational wealth. And I'm also wife, mother, and grandma.
Well, you have had a great, I mean, that's a great coverage of what you do, a great job that you're in. And that kind of leads me to my very first question. So how did you end up writing our foreword? Like what brought you to writing?
Writing, yes. So for many, many years in the mortgage industry, people would always say to me, you know what, Laura, one day you need to write a book about how did you get here? And, you know, you're busy with life, you're building companies, you're building a family, you're running things. And I really was like, always had it on my list of, I want to write a book some point in my life. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. When COVID happened and I was no longer traveling, you know, to any conferences, I was no longer, you know, going anywhere. I said, this is it. This is the time when I am going to produce my first book. And so that was the very first book was Say Yes Every Day, Discovering Your Superpowers. What it's about is my journey, my personal journey of how I got started in the mortgage industry to becoming an owner and president of a national successful company. And not just my journey, but giving tips and insights into us playing into our own unique gifts. Because we all know, no two people are the same in the world. We all have uniqueness in us. And so many times we spend part of our life trying to fit in and be like others, but that's not when we're our best. We're our best when we trust our intuition and when we believe in ourselves to use and apply our gifts. So the superpower stuff, I want to actually touch on this a little bit. So I was doing a podcast during COVID, okay? And it all started the very first week of lockdown. A friend of mine ran a technology company. She's like, Laura, what's going to happen? Oh my God, like, how are we going to survive? What's going to happen with our businesses? And I'm like, I don't know, I guess one day at a time. And she said, how about we go live on Facebook, me, you, and one other person, and we kind of talk about what we're doing, how we're adapting our companies. I'm like, I think that's a great idea. So in March, like the middle of March of 2020, mm-hmm. we went live. Well, then we got an idea. We said, how about the next week, the three people from the week before nominate someone to come on and do the same thing? Well, Peter,
Wow.
I did this for a year and a half, but I changed it from Survive and Thrive to Thrive Thursday. So about 6 months after us going through how we were going to change, we all changed. We all adapted. It got normal to be remote. Okay. So 6 months into it, I decided to, we're not surviving anymore. We're thriving. And so I wanted to bring on new people and ask them, okay, what did you learn from going through the pandemic and what changes? And then I asked them a question. And the question was, what would you say your superpower is, your uniqueness? Well, Peter, the first week, people were frozen. They didn't know what to say. And then I realized we are very apprehensive about saying something positive about ourselves. It's something that's a little awkward and we're not really sure how other people will take us. Mm-hmm. So I changed it up and this is how it ties to the book. What I would do is I would meet with them on Tuesday and prep them for our Thursday call. Okay. And what I would tell them is you all have a homework assignment. What I want you to do, and I want you to go to a couple of people that know you very well and they care about you. It could be your partner, it could be your mother, it could be your best friend, whoever, right? And say to them, what is it that's special about me? What's my superpower? Well, Peter, what happened, I would have never expected. There were people crying on these podcasts because for the first time, they heard their adult children tell them they're the rock of the family. Mm-hmm. They are so strong and resilient that they are the most positive person that they've known in their entire world. And they look to them to to be their beaming light, to guide them into the future. Like, they were hearing these things that a lot of times we don't even realize what our gift is, because we're trying to look like other people or sound like other people or mirror them.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. And thank you for sharing that, because I think that relates a lot to writing as well, because I've heard this from so many people that we've talked with, is they have a story to tell, but they don't want to necessarily brag about themselves, or they don't want to share what they've gone through with other people, because they think, oh, I'm different from someone else. But, you know, the one thing that we've always say is, you know, everyone has a story to tell, and everyone, you'd be surprised at how many people that we've had on. I think everyone on this, as a guest on the show, whether they've been, you know, an author, whether they've worked with authors, everyone says that, I just have been told that I need to write a book, or I want to write a book, but everyone's afraid to be a little vulnerable with other people out there and share their story with the world. So I love how you actually turned it around and had them ask other people what their superpower is, because I think we learn a lot about ourselves through other people as well.
That is exactly right. And then to keep going with that story, what happened in the beginning is I was speaking to mortgage people, but remember, I asked them to then nominate the next person that would come on. What started happening is they started nominating people that had nothing to do with the mortgage industry. So as time progressed, I got to meet people from all over the country that I would have never, ever met in my entire life. So Peter, you know what I did? My second Say Yes book was 10 stories from people that had nothing to do with the mortgage industry, that they shared their story and I allowed them to become authors. Mm-hmm. And I put together the book, because the name of the book is Say Yes Every Day. Everyone has a story. Mm-hmm. Because I realized that it was meant to be, that those people had a story to share. Those people had struggles. Those people had successes. Those people had failures they learned from. And I felt so blessed that I was able to connect with them that I realized I needed to make this permanent. Meaning, when you write a book, it's out there. It will be out there for years and years and years. And that moment in time during a global pandemic, I needed to capture that. Mm-hmm. And that book came out in 21, I think, or beginning of 22, because I needed to make sure that we were capturing that moment in time. And that's the other part about being an author.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so true. You know, I love how you say that, capturing a moment in time, because that's really what it is. You know, as we're writing, whether you're writing a nonfiction book or a fiction book or whatever, you know, an article in a newspaper or a magazine, you're capturing you and what's going on around you in that moment of time. Now, I don't know if you're a big reader, if any of our listeners are big readers, but I can't count the number of times an author will release, let's just say, like a 15th or 20th anniversary book, and they make changes, and it's because they've grown, they've changed, they've updated their worldview, they've seen things happen, and they make changes in their book, you know, and that's capturing a second moment in time. So I love how you use that phrase. That's a great that's a great words to live by, I think. Now, yes. Go ahead, continue. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's funny. There's a couple of things I tell people everyone should do. Everyone should have a podcast. And everyone should write a book. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care where you are in your life scheme. If you're, you know, 20 years old in college, or if you're at the end of your career, or if you're retired. The perspective and knowledge that you get in having conversation and connecting with other people, whether it's through a podcast and, of course, taking the time on the side of a book and capturing that moment, it's something that it should be a rite of passage. It should be part of your life.
I completely agree with you. You know, I was talking with another one of our guests earlier, and we were talking about podcasts in general. And, you know, I mentioned, I think that I've learned more about my industry by doing the podcast. I know so much. I mean, we're experts at publishing. That's what we, you know, but there's so much more we can learn. And just by spending 15 or 20 minutes talking about the industry as a whole every week, I've learned so much about what authors can do, how publishing can work, more about myself. So I think it's great because we're not just sharing knowledge that we have, we're sharing knowledge that we learn, and hopefully that whoever's listening out there can learn a few things about what we do, about who you are through each week. That's great.
Agreed.
So one question I have is, you have used this phrase a few times and it's part of your book, Say Yes Every Day. Where did that come from?
So where it all originated, and it's ironic, the moment that we're recording this just hit the anniversary. So it was on April 12th of 2018. So it has already passed, but it's recent. April 12th of 2018 was the very first time that I ever took the stage. Now, the interesting part about that is I tried to back out of it. Someone asked me to moderate a panel, and I said yes immediately. And then I got very scared. I started thinking all these negative thoughts. Why, similar to when you go to write a book, why would anyone want to hear from me? Why do I think I'm someone that is worthy of being an author or being a moderator, or replace that terminology in our brains? And so a couple of weeks before the conference, I called the conference promoter, and this is all in my book. And I said, you know what? I decided I'm not comfortable doing it. I'm going to have someone else take my place. That person told me no. Now, Peter, what you need to understand here is that when you're someone that has risen to the top of companies and you hold these positions, people say no to you. Most people just say yes to you. And so when this person said no, the thought that came in my brain was, wow, maybe he sees something in me that I'm not seeing. So I went on YouTube and I watched all these videos on how to be a great speaker and how to moderate panels and all this good stuff. And I got up there and it was wonderful. Everything went great. But when I was done, I had a line of women waiting to speak to me. My first thought was, oh my God, did I say something wrong? Did I, like, negative thoughts? And that wasn't it at all. These women were thanking me because they said that they rarely see women executives up on a stage. It's usually all men. In that moment, Peter, I realized that if I had let fear overtake me, I would have never been that person that those women needed to see. And I decided in that moment that I was going to take the phrase, say yes every day. And what that means is that I look at every single thing, not of what the expectation of an outcome is or what might happen, good, bad, or indifferent. I just go into it being grateful and thankful for whatever it is that comes my way with no preconceived notions. And I do not allow fear to come into my life. And Peter, it was the biggest awakening of my entire life, because in that moment, I was no longer going to allow fear to take over, because I realized that I could do more good in this world by me being open to getting out of my comfort zone than if I remained small and kept myself contained in the box.
Wow, that is a wonderful story, and it shows a lot of strength, I think, on your part, but I can definitely tell that it shows a lot of ability to grow as well, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, if not, we're going backwards, right?
Right, right.
If we're not growing and moving forward, we're going backwards.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I have I've heard too is like, even if you're just like, stagnation is going backwards.
That is correct. You know? Complacency, all mm-hmm. of that. It is, you know, it's funny, if you listen to Tony Robbins, he says the definition of success is progress. That's mm-hmm. all it is. Mm-hmm. Moving forward. So mm-hmm. every time that we get out of our comfort zone, every time we say yes to just, I'm not putting a label on this. I'm not saying if I do this, this mm-hmm. might happen or that might happen. You're just going into it saying, I'm living my best life in this moment. And I'm just saying yes to being, right? Mm-hmm. That right. is progress.
For sure, for sure. You know, one thing, I have a little history in education, and one thing that I always thought was interesting when I was learning about education in general was, you know, the best growth in students or the best progress we see in students is when you have to find the sweet spot of the challenge versus, you know, if it's too challenging, no one's going to learn anything because they're going to give up. If it's something that they already know and are easy, it's easy to do, they're never going to grow either. So you have to find that sweet spot, you know, of what challenges them just enough with the right support behind them, whether that's your teachers, your parents, your friends, whoever it is, to give you that support to grow.
And that's difficult in a large setting, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's easy one-on-one, but that's certainly challenging. And each one of us is different. Mm-hmm. You know, every single one of us is unique, and it's almost like an elastic band, right? Like you're right. trying to figure it out, like as you're mm-hmm. pulling this elastic band. Yeah, but you're right. And as humans, that doesn't change. Whether mm-hmm. we're a child or whether we're, you know, a mature person, it doesn't change. That remains our entire lives.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, that's kind of one reason we see a lot of people write books as well, because they want to challenge themselves just a little bit to, you know, share their story or to, you know, inspire other people or whatever it is. Maybe it's just to tell a fun story that they've had in their mind. But, you know, whatever it is, they want to go out there and challenge themselves just a little bit by writing a book.
You're right about that. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, bringing it back to you and writing the foreword for our book. So, I mean, we obviously know that you have written, you know, in your past, but what kind of makes, or is there a difference between writing just a book versus writing a foreword in your mind?
I don't think so. I mean, I try to write all the time, you know, like, and here's the other thing. The thing about writing is it's another way to share your voice. It's another way to share your view. And here's the biggest part. It's another way you get to spotlight other people. So when I discovered that I had a voice, right, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, I want to be able to use my voice to bring out the voice of other people, right? Mm. So I started thinking about, well, how can I do that, right? Well, I can do that by speaking. I can do that by video. I can do that on stages. And I can do that in written word, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is, you know, what, even if I write articles spotlighting women, upcoming women that are trailblazers or women leaders, right? Or it's such a thing like writing the foreword of the book. I think we all have to realize what an incredible gift that we have, the ability for us to communicate, right? The written, and that's the thing, going back to that capturing the moment in time, the written word mm-hmm. is captured in that moment in time. Mm-hmm. So I think each style of writing and each form is different, but I think all of them are extremely valuable and important. And it is something, and listen, we all know that we're now in a world of ChatGPT and AI and all that kind of stuff. Let us not lose sight of the value of our own style and our own uniqueness. This goes back to the superpowers again. Don't allow technology to take over for our ability to have our unique style in the form of writing.
Oh, that's so true. You know, I think a lot of people in today's world use, you know, whether it's AI, ChatGPT, whether it's, you know, predictive text, whatever it is, and they do lose sight of their own individual voice and their own individual story. And they just kind of like let the AI tell their own story. But, you know, I think AI can be used as a tool in a way, but you can't, like you said, you can't lose sight of the human element and the human story that you're really trying to tell when you are, you know, part of. So, you know, first of all, let me thank you for writing the foreword for the book. I know the book is going to be coming out soon. So for all of our listeners, please, you know, keep an eye out for the book to come out and read Laura's foreword. But before we kind of close for today, is there anything about writing, anything about the book, anything about yourself that you'd like to share with our listeners that we haven't covered yet?
You know, my biggest message is I want everyone to think about that superpower. Okay. My homework to everyone listening out there, I'm going to tell you the fulfillment that you will get when you go and ask someone, like I said, pick two people, just two people that care about you, that will be honest. Ask them what your superpower is, because when you realize what it is, you will start to apply it to the rest of your life. And once you do that, take that confidence and use that confidence to then expand it and continue to challenge yourself. Remember what I said. Every person should have a podcast and every person should be an author. Do not allow our time on this earth to not be recorded with sharing your voice and your views and your stories and your experiences. This is a legacy that you are able to leave the world. And it's something that all of us should provide that gift.
That is wonderful. And I want to definitely thank you again for coming on the show. One thing that I love you keep on coming back to is how you can use your voice to lift up the voices of others around you and, you know, around. And I think that's wonderful. And I want to thank you for lending your voice to our book and letting our listeners know a little bit about you as well through this interview. So you said you had some homework for our listeners about telling, you know, reaching out and doing all of that superpower work. So once they learn what their superpower is, how can they let you know? Where can they find you on, you know, online or on social media and tell you what their superpower is?
I'm really glad you said that, Peter, because I do have people reach out to me and tell me that. And I love that. Like, that makes me so happy when people reach out and say, Laura, you wouldn't believe, you know, my grown daughter, you know, shared this with me. And now that I realize that, I'm shining my light that way. So yes, I feel free to connect to me on any social media, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of that, just under my name, under Laura Brandeo. But by all means, please reach out. I do want to hear from you, because when we are comfortable and confident in our skin and believing who we are, and we're no longer comparing ourselves to others, because there is no comparison. You're the only you that will ever exist on this entire time of existence. So you have no competition. You have no one to be, no one to be like, no one to copy. It's only you. And so once you know that gift and that superpower, apply your instinct and your intuition. And then shine brightly, because you're on a mission, the mission of fulfilling your best life. Keep on that mission.
Well, that is some great words to and the interview with. And just for our listeners to know, I will have links to all of Laura's social media in the show notes. So you can just click on that and it'll take you right to her profile, and you can share your superpower with Laura wherever you're at on social media. So thanks again for joining us, Laura.
Thank you, Peter.
Podcast is a production of The Author's Voice. I have been your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and I want to thank KZ and Colleen for joining me on this episode to discuss all things writing, publishing, and speaking. Do you have questions about today's topic or would like to be a guest on a future episode? You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or send our team an email at info@theauthorsvoice.org. You can stay in touch with Candy, Colleen, and Peter through The Author's Voice on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Links to all of those can be found in the show notes. If you have enjoyed the episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review on the podcast app of your choice. Also, please help us spread the word about the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast by sharing the episode on your social media or by introducing a friend, a colleague, an author, or anyone who would enjoy the discussion to the show.